Complete in Christ, Commentary for the March 7th, 2026 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Psalm 13, verses 2 through 4. Today I was reminded the last enemy to be destroyed is death, as in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. Many of us are particularly close to pets we have loved for years. They depend upon us and we lovingly care for them while they return that love and devotion to us that can surpass the love of humanity in faithfulness and presence. For the past 12 years, my wife and I have had that relationship with two Siamese cats we rescued from a Humane Society shelter. First was Jasmine, and next was her brother by another mother, Simeon. Both were victims of abuse before being placed in the shelter and had resulting health issues. Jasmine has struggled her entire life with skin and nervous system issues, as well as allergies and difficulty keeping anything down after eating. Consequently, she is skinny as a rail and does not like to put up with nonsense, as she is already dealing with enough from day to day. At 15 years of age, she is also frail and unsteady in her gait. Simeon, on the other hand, came to us without apparent physical issues. But mentally, he was very fearful, and for a few years, he was always afraid someone was going to hurt him. Because of that fear, he was not at that time one to jump into a warm lap like Jasmine often did. Eventually, a physical problem did pop up, though. He was diagnosed with diabetes at an annual physical. This meant doses of insulin twice daily and blood sugar monitoring. This kept him relatively healthy with only a few minor flare-ups through the years. I trained him to come to a counter near the kitchen to get his insulin, and he knew when it was time, and I usually did not need to call him. Things were going well, and during the past several months, he spent more time asking for attention with petting and lap time, attention I was more than happy to give him. Loud purring was often the result. This pleasant relationship ended today. When we awoke, he was meowing plaintively, terrified and in pain, in the living room. He could no longer use his hind legs. I suspected diabetes because in the past, when he would get a little down on his hocks, his insulin would need a slight increase, and that would quickly get him back in form. I gave him an injection, but the problem did not resolve as before. His abdomen and lower extremities were unresponsive, and he continued to wail loudly. I got him to the veterinarian right away, and they did blood work and x-rays to rule out any other cause. Everything came back normal, except his blood glucose, which was elevated despite the insulin I had given him. He was suffering from diabetic neuropathy. While it was possible that he might respond to the insulin over time, it would probably take several months with him suffering greatly. I consulted with my wife and we had to make the difficult decision to relieve his suffering. One of the hardest things I've ever done was petting and comforting him while seeing the light of life leave those beautiful eyes that had been looking so deeply into mine, hoping I could somehow make everything right again in his world. Sadly, I do not have that power. As a medic during the Vietnam War, and as someone who has lost his first wife to illness we could do nothing about, I've seen too much death, and it breaks my heart every time. My current wife and I are both elderly with chronic health issues, and we know that one or the other of us will see the other one die. Neither of us looks forward to that loss. Compared to our pets, we feel we have long lives. But this means we have to say goodbye to them too often over our lifetimes. I imagine that our lives also seem tragically short to God, and I believe it breaks his heart, just as the death of those we love breaks ours. God is no stranger to such feelings. Jesus wept over the death of Lazarus, and how it must have broken Mary's heart to see her son's life flicker out on the cross. Life is a special gift, but too many treat it with indifference, attacking and harming others as though it were a minor matter. As I write this, wars are raging across the planet, with victories being tallied in body counts of the dead, those bodies of sons and daughters whose eyes have lost the light of hope and joy because someone else who died inside long ago decided it. Those who do this, like those in Bob Dylan's Masters of War, dance among the corpses, celebrating the putrefying bodies, unaware of the stench they raise to the heavens. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," in John 10, verse 10. Those who kill and destroy steal lives and property, but only Jesus brings life in its fullness. We have difficulty accepting that, however. The thief lives a long life and appears to thrive, while the righteous, the compassionate, the empathetic are ridiculed and harried into the grave by those who have given their lives to evil. One day, though, the righteous will receive the life they deserve when the fullness of Christ's promise comes to fruition at his return, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 through 57. It is hard to wait for that day, especially with broken hearts. Maybe impatience is why some believe that the dead fly away to their reward when they die. But how sad it would be for our loved ones to be dwelling in some sort of spiritual world, seeing our broken hearts and our sufferings, and be unable to do anything about it. That does not sound very heavenly. Sleeping in the grave gives our hearts rest from that agony. With a constant struggle against evil, I can see the value of that rest already. I do not pretend to know what to expect once Christ returns and the graves are opened. But Paul, quoting Isaiah, wrote, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him," in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Does this mean that we will look into the eyes of those we have loved with the light of life once again shining forth? I like to believe that. Will it include our pets who have died? Will it include former spouses or children who have died far too young? I do not know, but Paul's statement that we have not begun to conceive of what will be there leaves room for those things and more. There is also a completeness in Christ that can serve us well in this life, even in the face of death. I have seen it repeatedly in those who are making that transition from life to death. The hope of a life to come of bliss and peace helps to relieve the anxiety that can accompany death. I saw this with my mother as she was in hospice and was agitated. One of the things that calms my anxieties is to recite from memory the 23rd Psalm. As my wife Karen and I attended to her, nothing relieved her anxiety. But when I recited that psalm, Karen, who was holding her hand, felt her relax, and shortly after, she passed to her peace. While I am told that others have found different ways of approaching death that work for them, I have found that there are many who recall in their final moments the lessons of Sunday school or vacation Bible school that became a part of their earliest understanding of the world and its purpose, and they find peace. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these," in Luke 18, verse 16. A child understands the pain of losing a pet and instinctively knows that death is not right. It is an aberration. So when Jesus promises us life in the face of all the death that surrounds us in this world, the innocence of a child yearns for and hopes for that life. And despite what we see as adults, it is something we can and should hope for also. My wife tells me she looks forward to seeing one day those who have already died, including former pets and even my first wife. She believes that heaven will have room for such extended families and the different notes of harmony they provide for the heavenly chorus. And why not? If God is love, according to 1 John 4, verse 8, why wouldn't he make a heaven like that? Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other sermonettes and articles, as well as links to books written by the author at that website. Once again, it's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.